That was awesome. That was awesome. Would you stand with me this morning as we read? And right before we do, you know, Andrea is from here, from the Netherlands. Can we all say good morning to Andrea and her family? Hello, is that Dan? Good to see you. We're so stoked you guys are here. You came all the way here just to be here on Sunday, huh? Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Gosh, don't you love the summers? You know, somebody just came back with a tan from Maui. Where are you? Where are you, Doc? There you are, yes. Are you having a good summer? Yeah? It's good, right? God's doing good things. Listen to this. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we've left our homes to come to this house, to this assembly of believers. Father, we come this morning to worship you in spirit, and we come to worship you in truth. We ask, Lord God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. May you open our eyes that we might see, and may you touch our ears that we can hear God this morning. We pray that you would do this, God, for your glory and for your kingdom and for nothing else. We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this day. This we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love God again would say, amen. And y'all may be seated. So we've been doing a series through the book of Joel. And yesterday, by the way, was a special anniversary in humanity. Does anyone know what happened 50 years ago yesterday? Did you know that mankind walked on the moon 50 years ago yesterday by a guy named Dr. Neil Armstrong? Dr. Armstrong. And so here is my Neil Armstrong story for you, and it comes as I was leading a group to Israel with Frank and Lorette in 2006. After about 6 years, because there was bad things happening in Israel, we quit doing Israeli study tours, and we were getting ready to go again. Pastor Frank, as you know, 2 years into my belief into Jesus, went and studied in the land of Jesus, and it radically transformed me, and I had no idea I'd ever be a pastor, but my desire is I wish I could take all of you with me to the land of Israel and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And we were getting ready to go again, and I told our tour agency I wanted two things. I wanted you to give me a Messianic Jewish guide, which they told me there was none. I said, you will find me one, and they finally gave me Sarah, who's now been our guide every year. If you're going with me in 2020, Sarah's waiting for us. We book her 2 years in advance. She's a Messianic Jewish believer. I said I wanted two things. I want a Messianic Jewish guide, and I want to go to the newly excavated archaeological dig of the southern steps of the Temple Mount. This is 2006. And so they gave me both. We were on our ninth day in Israel. We will travel up to the Sea of Galilee. We come back down. We usually end our time in Jerusalem. And Sarah, we are having this amazing, wonderful time with Sarah. She's sharing about how she's met Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And we are having an amazing time with this Messianic Jewish believer who loves Jesus and is a tour guide for the Ministry of Tourism in Israel. And we were in Jerusalem on our ninth day there, and we were coming out of King David's tomb. and we were heading into the old city. We were heading to the southern steps of the Temple Mount, and we met this person. And when Sarah saw this person, she went ballistic. She began speaking really fast in Hebrew. She began hugging this man. And after a while, we were all sitting there watching, and she finally said, "Pastor Frank, I want you to meet one of my favorite professors." And his name is Dr. Meir Ben Dov. He's leading archaeologist in Israel, and the archaeologists there train the tour guides to as they tour the sites. And so she saw him, and she went crazy. And she introduced him to me, and he smiles at me, and he says, "You're an American." I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, here is your American story." He said, "A few years ago, Neil Armstrong had come to Israel. And because he's a high-profile person, I was his guide. And I was taking him all over the land of Israel. And at one point, he says, 'Can you show me 100% a place where my Jesus walked, where my Jesus was?'" And Dr. Dove smiled, and he took him. Dr. Dove was the one that was responsible for excavating the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And so Dr. Dove took Neil Armstrong to this place that we're going to visit this morning. And he took him to these stairs. And he says, "I have been digging up these stairs for the last years." He says, "These are called the steps of the rabbi." He says, "100% your Jesus stood on these stairs, sat on these stairs, and I promise you that your Jesus taught many passages in the New Testament from these stairs. These are called the steps of the rabbis. The rabbis would teach from here." And he says, "Jesus sat on these very stairs." And he tells me, he says, and by the way, they closed down the site for Neil Armstrong. And so he got a private, he was walking in, and Dr. Dove tells me, he says, "Neil Armstrong got very quiet, very contemplative, and he began walking around the stairs. And he said, he came back and he was trembling. And he says, 'I'm trembling now more walking where my Jesus walked than when I first stepped on the moon.'" Has anyone in here stepped on the moon? Apparently, to Dr. Armstrong, Neil Armstrong, it was more moving to be on the southern steps of the Temple Mount than to step on the moon. And it is an amazing place. The southern steps of the Temple Mount are incredible. I have a picture of like a map or a kind of a model. That would be the temple. These stairs are over here on the lower right side. They're the southern stairs of the Temple Mount. People would come up through these stairs, in through these arches that you can still see. They've been molded in as people was coming up to the temple. And this was the place where the rabbis would teach. They believed this is the place Jesus taught from many times in and around this area. And they're amazing. The southern steps of the Temple Mount. Another model, and if you go around the side, this is what I'm talking about. The stairs. They believe that Jesus taught a big part of his teachings from these stairs, especially if you read the Gospel of Matthew. And most scholars believe that this is where Peter stood up 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 2 when he began preaching, the birth of the church and the coming of this age of grace. So how's that for a Neil Armstrong story? Pretty good, isn't it? We've started a series over the summer. We're called Messengers. And God's Messengers. If God was to give a message, what's God's Gmail, right? If God is to send a message, what is an email? Email is basically one entity conveying to another entity information. What is the prophets? The prophets are basically God's messengers. As God is giving data or information from one entity to another, and God gives it through the prophets. And we thought it'd be really cool for summer to do a series called Messengers. And we wanted to do Joel, because Joel, we believe, is one of the first prophets. One of the first prophets, right in about 750 B.C. And then Malachi is one of the last prophets. He wrote about 450 B.C. Who are these people? They are God's messengers. And they deliver a message. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Graham was correct in stating, as we kicked off this series, that Joel, the prophet Joel, is known as the prophet of judgment. When you read his three chapters, you'll find that chapter one is about judgment, a present judgment that God is doing on his people to get their attention. But then when you read Joel chapter two, it begins to speak of this judgment that God will bring upon the nations as God himself is at the head of an army judging the world and saying that there will never be anything like this ever happen in the human history. And then when you read Joel chapter 3, it speaks more about this judgment. But wrapped up between the judgments of Joel, there is five verses in 28 through 32, 31, 32, that speak of an age of God's mercy upon humanity. An age of grace. I want you to take notes with me this morning. It's important that you know this. Note number one, right there in your notes, I want you to take this down. You can talk about this, discuss this. Tucked between the judgments of God and the book of Joel is the promise of a special age of the Holy Spirit falling on mankind. You need to know this. It's very important. Tucked between the judgments of God and the book of Joel is the promise of an age, a special age coming upon humanity when the Holy Spirit will fall on all mankind. On ordinary people. The Holy Spirit would fall on certain individuals like prophets or kings. But an age is coming when the Holy Spirit will fall on ordinary people like me and like you. We live in this age. This was an amazing promise of God to humanity given in 750 BC. In the book of Joel, God judges the evil of mankind, and yet in the book of Joel, God promises to transform humanity. All in three chapters. And about 790 years after Joel was written, Jesus came with signs and wonders. And he began teaching about the Holy Spirit. Do you remember his conversation early in his ministry with a Pharisee while he was in Jerusalem, a guy named Nicodemus? And it's really beautiful as Jesus begins to interact with Nicodemus. They immediately go to deep theological things because he's talking to a scholar. And Jesus starts telling this Pharisee that you must be born again. Listen to this, John 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again, born of the spirit. Born anew, born from above. If you are not born again, you cannot see what? The kingdom of God. Anyone here want to see the kingdom of God? Anyone want to go to heaven? Anyone else in here besides me would like to see? Jesus says you can't. You cannot unless you're born again. Unless you're born again. Pastor Frank met Jesus, gave my heart to Jesus in 1985. I moved to Dana Point and I started going to Saddleback College. And I'll never forget this because I was a brand new believer in the Lord. Is maybe a year, maybe, follower of Christ. And I was smiling at Saddleback College as a student. And this girl looked at me and she goes, "What are you smiling about all the time?" And I looked at her and I said, these were my words, "Jesus is rad." "Jesus is rad." And she looked at me with a scowl on her face. And she says, "You're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? Is there any other kind? Is there any other kind? According to Jesus, there isn't." And that's a pretty... That's a good reference, isn't it? Is there any other kind? All through Jesus' ministry, His disciples are expecting Him to judge the world and set up an earthly kingdom. And all through Jesus' ministry, He's heading to the cross as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And to the disciples' horror, Jesus dies on a cross. But 3 days later, to their surprise, He arose from the dead. And after He arose from the dead, the disciples were starting to get it. The Messiah will die for sin. The Messiah will deal with our separation from God. Isaiah 53, the prophets. After Jesus arose from the dead, He spent 40 days with them before He ascended to heaven. And notice the teachings that Jesus gave and their question to Him in Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, this is after He arose from the dead, He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of that my Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When did God give an amazing promise of the Holy Spirit coming on mankind that Jesus is talking about? Answer: Joel, chapter 2. They gathered around Him and they asked Him, Lord, at this time are You going to set up Your kingdom? The kingdom of Israel. And He says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The disciples were so kingdom-focused, and they kind of get it after Jesus arose. Okay, we get this, Lord. You died on the cross for the sins of mankind. So now are You going to judge the world and take out the Roman Empire and set up Your kingdom on earth? Are You now going to do the judgments of the first part of Joel 2 and all of Joel 3? Jesus' answer: right book, wrong verses. The judgment of mankind, not now. Future judgments will come in God's timing, but a new age is upon us. The second part of Joel chapter 2. God is about to fulfill His promise and to give an amazing gift to mankind, His Spirit dwelling, people, in us. And in the power of the Spirit, Jesus says, tell the world about Me. And then right after this, He ascends into heaven. And He told them, stay in Jerusalem until this happens. And so they stayed in Jerusalem for 10 days. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Where were the disciples? What house were they in? Every movie you've seen, they're in some private home. 120 people in some private home. Can you put 120 people in your house? Where were they? Jesus says, it is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer. King David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. They were at the house of God. They were at the temple. Where were they at the temple? Where do they sit? Not everybody brought recliners to the temple. Where were they sitting? They were sitting on stairs. Where did this happen? This is where it happened. Just keep that picture there as I read this, because I want to read to you Peter's sermon. Because I'm so taken by this. And it says, amazed and perplexed, just keep that picture there. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Where was he sitting? Did he bring a chair to the temple for 10 days? Where was he sitting? Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. He addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk with wine as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Can everybody give Peter a round of applause? Because Peter's getting it. He goes, this was spoken through the prophet Joel. And he doesn't talk about the judgments in the Valley of Armageddon. He goes to where Jesus told him to. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my spirit, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Well done, Peter. Listen to this sermon, and I don't want to read all of Acts 2, but this is a pretty good first sermon by Peter. Listen to this. He says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. He's preaching a pretty good message, isn't he? Acts 2:36-41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? No, we didn't know, right? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's not bad for a sermon, is it? Peter's first sermon he gave. And people, it's heartwarming to me. I remember my first sermon. I was scared to death. I can see Peter slowly standing up, looking around and starting to teach from whose pulpit? Jesus' pulpit. He stood up in Jesus' pulpit at the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And not a bad first sermon. Peter must have been a pretty good teacher. I wonder who taught him. Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And he left everything and followed Jesus. And now here he is, taking up the mantle of Christ. Where was he sitting? It says he rose. So he was sitting somewhere in Jerusalem. Where was he sitting? He's sitting at the southern steps. Probably sitting in the seat that he always sat in when he heard Jesus teach. Whenever you come to church, do you always sit in your same seat? Mine's right over there. Peter was sitting in the same seat. And everybody starts laughing because these guys are starting to speak in other languages. The Spirit of God has come upon them. And Peter, it says he slowly got up. Do you think he was scared? Spirit of God was in him. He began to preach. Not a bad sermon. Where do you think they baptized 3,000 believers that day? People, if you come with me next year to Israel, right south of the southern steps, we have these. There, this whole place is being dug up by Dr. Dovin. It has been dug up. Do you see the stairs? Do you see these little areas? They all held water. They're all baptismals. Here's another one. Do you see the stairs going down? They've dug up 48 of them so far as they continue to dig. As the Jewish people were coming up to the temple, they would cleanse themselves and wash themselves before they'd go into the presence of God, which, by the way, you have to do. If all you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to be born again, born anew, born from above. How does that happen? You accept Christ. 48 of these things. Mikvahs. Take notes this morning. This day began a new age. of God's in God's prophetic calendar, in God's timing. This is what God has set up for mankind. Some people call the age of the church, or the church age, or the age of grace. Many people call it the age of the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Acts, they say, well, look what the apostles did. It's not what the apostles did. It's what the apostles did, what the Holy Spirit did through the apostles. Okay? The Spirit of God comes upon mankind. We live in an amazing dispensation. The age of the Holy Spirit dwelling amongst mankind. And take notes. The age of the Holy Spirit is an age of the supernatural. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit, the age that we live in now is the age of the supernatural. Joel 2:28 says, and afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Does this mean that all sons and daughters become prophets? No. The prophetic office ends with the prophets. Very important that you know this. In Hebrews, we read this in Hebrews. Listen to this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Did you catch that? God, in long ago, spoke through the prophets, and nowadays God speaks through His Son. There's no more prophets. My Quran. Muhammad? God doesn't speak through prophets and then send His Son and go back to prophets? No. No. Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith, prophet? No. God spoke long ago with they had a prophetic office. They're called prophets. They're very special people, God's messengers. They wrote the Old Testament. The prophetic office ends. But the ministry, the prophetic ministry continues into this age. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The prophetic ministry continues. People, if someone comes up to you and says, thus says the Lord, run. If someone comes up to you and says, thus says the Lord, and they're not reading from the Bible, run. I went to Biola. I can't tell you how many times a guy would come up to a girl and say, God told me that you should date me. Ladies, what do you do when you hear that? Run! The prophetic office is over. If anyone says to you, thus says the Lord, run. But the prophetic ministry exists today. And there is, and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 specifically. Seek the prophet. There's a gift of the Spirit that some people will receive where you can just sense God telling you to speak to people. What Faye and King were talking about here was a prophetic word. Move. The Spirit of the Lord moves. There's times down here when Pastor Frank and Cinder, at the end of the service, we want people to come forward at times and we'll pray for them and anoint them with oil. And we've seen God heal people. And they've come down with specific requests. And they pray for certain things. And we pray for what's on their heart. And God loves it. When they step down here in faith and they're bringing their requests before the Lord, God loves that. In the churches and worship, it's a good thing. And so, just so you know, there are times after we're done praying, I just say, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. Do you want me to say something? And there's been times when people will come up, and I'll just sense the Lord say, Frankie, I want you to... And I'll never say, thus says the Lord. But I do say, I just sense that the Lord wants you to today. And I'll speak a word into them. And they start crying. And Cindy looks at me going, what was that from? I'm like, it's very subjective. It's of the Spirit. It's so subjective that the Apostle Paul says later on in the book of Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. But examine everything carefully and hold fast to what is good. It's very subjective. There's a prophetic gift where God sometimes, you'll sense if, as you know God and walk with God, and it says earnestly desire gifts, especially that you would have a prophetic one, that you could speak into someone's life. You know, this is what I believe God would want to say to you. And it's very special. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people, it says. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There's not a prophetic office, but people will prophesy. It's a general, broad statement. It describes the age that we live in. Not everyone will have the gift of prophecy. Read 1 Corinthians 12:13, 14. Your old men will dream dreams. Not all. Not has every old man in here ever dreamed dreams like Daniel? Vision? Dreams? Anyone? It's not all. Dr. Lee's grandma was a Buddhist. On her deathbed, she had a dream of Jesus. And she accepted Christ. And when you heard his testimony on Tuesday, in Malaysia, they left her body out for 3 days. And she was smiling. And her body wasn't really decaying that much, was it? And people, what happened to her? Supernatural. It's the age of the supernatural. Your old men will dream dreams. Not, it's general. It's specific. The Spirit's coming. Young people will see visions. Does this mean every person is, has how many people have, people here have had a vision? I haven't had a vision. Have you had anyone had a vision? There are many people who are having visions of Jesus. 17 years old, he had one. Converted him to Christ. A year or so ago, a Muslim man came into this church and said, I had a vision from Jesus. He told me to come here. Can you help me understand Jesus? He walked through the doors. Welcome. We're here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. That's why we're here. He had a vision. It's pretty cool. Even on my servants, both men and women, and I will pour out my spirit in those days. What days? These days. It's called the church age. You and I are living in an amazing time right now. The age of the Spirit of God moving in humanity. He says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Have you ever heard of the blood moons? People talk about this. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's the day of judgment. Before that, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. People, this is happening now. We're in this age. It's the age of salvation. It's the age of redemption. The time of judgment of God coming on the earth is coming. But this is the day of redemption. Right? Take notes this morning. Note number 3. You ready for this? The greatest supernatural event is a changed life. The greatest supernatural event is a changed life. When we left Dr. Dove in Jerusalem and we were heading to the southern steps, Sarah looked at me and she says, pray for him, Pastor Frank. He's this close to accepting Yeshua. He's this close to accepting Yeshua, Jesus. Do you remember when you were this close to accepting Yeshua? How old were you? Pastor Frank, pray for him. He's this close. Sarah, a Messianic Jew. And I guess he was one of her favorite students. No kidding. And she was preaching Christ. He's this close to accepting Yeshua. Do you remember when you were this close to accepting Yeshua? Did you know the angels rejoice over one person who believes? When one person's eternal destiny has been changed from darkness to light, from lost to found, from blind to see? People, the greatest supernatural event happening right now in human history is not prophecy. It's not the gift of tongues. It's even not healing. It's the transformation of a human soul. An eternal soul. The greatest supernatural event is a changed life. Do I hear an amen? And it's not general, it's specific. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians 1:13. Do you remember what Peter said when the people's spirits were cut and they're like, oh my, what do we do? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus. Be baptized. Come with us to the mikvahs and receive forgiveness of sin. For this promise, and Peter says, and if you do this, what happened to us, the Spirit of God that has fallen on us today shall fall upon you. If you do this. And it says, the church was born. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his epistle of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:13. In Him, in Jesus, you. It's not general, it's very specific. You. In Him, you. After listening to the message of truth, not error, truth. You. After listening to the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, having also what? Believed. Belief. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would? Believeth upon Him shall not die, but have what? Everlasting life. Sounds pretty good, right? In Him, you, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, what does it say? You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Speaking of Joel chapter 2. The word you. She looked at me. You're not one of those born again Christians, are you? I looked at her and I said, is there any other kind? Am I a born again Christian? Notes this morning. It's one for you to answer. Are you one of those born-again Christians? Are you? You need to answer that for yourself. The Holy Spirit comes upon you when you believe. When you believe on what? You believe in the message of Jesus. He died on a cross to set you free. He died on a cross to bring you to heaven. The only way the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of you is once you've been made holy. And you haven't been made holy until the Holy One makes you holy. And when He takes away all your shame and guilt and sin before a holy God, only He prepares the way for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Spirit of God will not dwell in you without the cleansing of Jesus in your life, washing away all your sin, all your sin. Born again. Forgiveness of sin comes through Christ and Him alone. Not through Muhammad, not through Buddha, not through good deeds. You don't work your way up to God. You can't work your way up to God. You can't do it. Every religion is themselves working their way to God through the five pillars. I have to work my way up. You cannot work. God worked His way to you in His Son. Jesus did the work on the cross. It's His work. Not yours. And all you do is accept what He did for you on your behalf. You believe. You accept Jesus. The greatest supernatural event that's happening right now in the age that we live in, the age of the Holy Spirit, is a life being changed. Has Jesus changed your life? Is He changing your life? The moment you accept Jesus, all your sins are washed away. Is that really cool? It says, He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin. It's the great exchange. All your sins come upon Jesus the day you accept Him. And He transforms that and says, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. Isn't that a fair deal? If I had a Beta, if I had a brand new, have you seen the new Corvettes that just came out? If I had the keys to a brand new Corvette, and you had a beat up 1974 Pinot, total piece of junk. Do you remember the Pinots that Ford made? You just tap the back of them and they'd explode. You remember these cars? They're terrible. If you had one of those and I had one of these and I said, I'll give you my keys if you give me yours, would you do it? That's the great exchange. Jesus says, I am all righteousness and you're not even close. And I'm going to take your sins upon me and I'm going to give you my righteousness. You accept what I've done for you. That's the greatest gift that's ever happened, people. And once that happens, the Spirit of God comes upon you. God pours out His Holy Spirit upon you. You're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? Are you? If you're not, what kind of Christian are you? Because according to Jesus, you're nothing. And you're not seeing the kingdom of God unless you're born again. How do I get born again? After hearing the message of truth that you heard this morning, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise from Joel chapter 2. Does that make sense? I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus, if you're here this morning and you want to be a born-again Christian, I want you to raise your hand to heaven right now. Say, I'm in. Right now, God's eyes are upon this place. If you're here today and you're watching online, if you want to be a born-again Christian, if you want the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon you, I want you to raise your hand right now to heaven and God will see it. If you want to accept Jesus this morning, if you're ready, this is the time, you're ready to be a born-again Christian, you throw your hand up right now. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. You keep your hand up. And you pray this prayer with me right now. This is the prayer that changes your life for all eternity. Pray this prayer. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Christ, you are the Son of the living God who came to earth to take away my sin. Today I believe and I ask that you would come into my life. And that you would wash away all of my failures, all of my shame, all of my guilt and sin before the Holy One. Wash me clean. I believe. Jesus, would you pour your Spirit upon me this morning? And may I be born again. May I see the kingdom of God one day because of you. This I pray in Jesus' name with all of my heart. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And the angels in heaven, listen, listen. They're rejoicing. Do you hear that? The angels in heaven are of applause. Should we join them? Can we give God applause? Can we give God applause? You're here today, and the Lord saw you. I cheated. I saw you too. You need to be baptized in the name of the Lord. We have a mitzvah that we built right outside there. And sometime when it's right, you need to go into the waters and make a public confession of Jesus, just like they did 2,000 years ago at the Southern Steps. I want us to sing this song. It's a beautiful song. It's written about Joel chapter 2. May we just stand as we sing this last song. as we honor God and we praise Him for the age that we live in today. People, we don't live in the age of judgment. Judgment comes upon the earth. Message of last week. You and I live in the age of the Holy Spirit, the age of grace, the age of mercy. It's a church age. May the Holy Spirit be poured out upon you this morning as you worship Him in spirit and in truth.